This is the Unconditional Love Partner message for the month of September, but we're including August too. And the reason for that, let me get it right out of the way, but by telling you that I had surgery exactly 1 month ago today. But of course, prior to that, there's all the prepping and everything. But for months now, I've been hardly able to walk because of the knees in my the bones in my knees were rubbing, grinding together, and it made walking almost impossible. And so I have now a new kneecap, and it has been very wonderful, I believe.
Marvelous.
Yeah, seriously, that's what the therapists are saying, because I almost immediately could get rid of all pain pills, and then I was immediately, within 2 or 3 days, ahead of where they expected me to be in terms of the pain and the swelling. And then I found myself one day at the other end of the house and realized I'd forgotten my walker, which meant I'd walked there without a walker. And it has just become better since then. I haven't had a cane or walker in the last few days, and I have no pain. And in fact, last Sunday, you might have noticed, I preached last Sunday. And so we are giving thanks to God that I now have a new kneecap and I'm walking better than I have in years.
Like a champ.
Yes, well, yes, I suppose so. And all is well. But of course, it meant that we were unable to get a partner message out to you last month. And so this month of September covers both here today and also backwards as far as what is happening. So, Cheryl, what do you have?
Well, first of all, you didn't tell them we're on the porch.
We're on the porch, yes.
We like to do this on the porch because we're relaxed and we just like to talk to you about what's going on. Well, as I told you last time about the retreat, to get your self-registered for the retreat, get your rooms and stuff, and it was kind of being slow for a while, but now we've had an influx of people registering, and I would say, do you hurry up and register, because it is filling up fast. So, and also, I do want to say about the retreat, this is us celebrating 70 years of ministry, and we want you to share your special thoughts for Malcolm. I know he's right here, but I'm just saying, before we get to retreat, I'm going to be reviewing some letters that, if you don't mind sending in your special things you want to share about Malcolm, even funny stories would be nice. but remember that we are celebrating the night of the retreat on Saturday night, the 3rd, and I've got special things planned, so don't miss it.
Okay. The subject of the retreat, if you may have forgotten, is it's living in the rest of God right now. The rest that God speaks of begins in Genesis 1. We were created to this rest, this unspeakable peace. And all the way through Scripture, you find the people who never made that. They never came to understand it. Even into the New Testament, where in Hebrews it says we are to labor to enter into rest, which I find is an interesting expression. But so obviously whoever was reading Hebrews, they had not yet entered into this rest. And so that's what we're speaking about. And I feel at this particular time in the history of the world, and especially here in the States, we are surrounded by confusion, chaos, and fear, big time fear. And if ever there was a time to know what it means to enter into rest, this is the time of that. And I also might say, Cheryl said, this is the 70th year of my being in ministry. And you can't kind of miss it. That year that began my ministry, I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit that changed my entire life forever. And that was in February. And we've just, with the death of Queen Elizabeth, that was the exact same time that she was crowned queen. And I remember that when she became Queen Elizabeth. And we're sort of running neck and neck. I'm 70 years in the ministry, and she was 70 years as queen. And it's a very interesting to meet people now that I don't only meet them, I meet their children and grandchildren. One time I just met the great-grandchildren, all who have been listening to this message. And that is a thrilling time. Okay, as we told you last time, Cindy, who was the lady that talked to you on the phone whenever you called the office, she passed into the presence of the Lord back in June. And
July 12th.
It was July, yes, I'm sorry. And so we have been, you might have noticed that the phone was not getting answered, and John would come up here twice a week to get all the orders out, but it has been a pressure time. But we now have a new person in the office who will be answering the phone, taking your orders. And her name is Gail Riley. And so we are welcoming Gail at this time. She is presently training because there's a lot to do in that office for one person. And John is training her. And so they're up here today. And so I was going to say invited, but we didn't. We told her that she had to come and say hello to you. So
she will be the voice of the ministry.
Yeah.
And so we do welcome her. As soon as I met Gail, she's my sister in Christ, and I just love her. You're going to love her. So we welcome her.
Yeah. I remember when we first began the meetings in Bandera, that Gail's face was one of the first faces there. And so she has been with us. And she is a real student of this message of love. And so I can happily say that any question you ask her about this message or whatever you are facing, she will be well able. Gail is one of the deaconesses at our fellowship and is well able to share this message. So, do you
want to say hi?
Well, yes, I'll say hi. This is Gail. This really isn't the voice I'll probably be using in a couple of weeks once I get over cold, sinus, whatever it is. But I look forward to speaking with those of you who call the office. And I'm very excited about an opportunity to work in this ministry that's meant so much to me over the last 25 years, probably. So thank you. Thank you, Malcolm.
Thank you, Gail. Now, I want to share, and it's been something that is coming up in our Bible school. Not only this Bible school, but also the next one early next year. And so it's a lot on my mind. And I want to say this, that whenever the Bible speaks of the covenant, the new covenant, that's the covenant that you and I live under, the covenant by which God swears himself to us and guarantees upon his own person that every promise he's made to us, he will fulfill. Salvation does not hang on your will. There's another message, isn't it? We're not saved because we have a strong will. Our salvation hinges upon what Jesus has done, but also the Holy Spirit applying that. And so this covenant, this new covenant in the scripture is understood to be a covenant of the Holy Spirit. Now, to talk to many people, you would never know that. They talk only of what Jesus came to do. But we have to realize it was the Father who sent Jesus to do what he did, and the Holy Spirit who came upon Jesus in his humanity and enabled him to do everything he did. And it's the Holy Spirit that then, when Jesus ascended, he sent to us. It says in Joel that he poured out his Spirit upon all flesh. And so the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon us. And you are where you are in Christ today because of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You understand who he is. You understand who you are because of the Holy Spirit. And everything that we have said that has suddenly come alive to you, that suddenly alive was the Holy Spirit opening your eyes and connecting with your inmost being, the Holy Spirit. Even as I speak, though, there are literally, well, certainly tens of thousands, but probably millions of believers who know nothing of the Holy Spirit. Some are afraid of the Holy Spirit, and many theologians have decided that the Holy Spirit went out of business in around the year 500 and will tell you straight looking in the eye that the Holy Spirit doesn't do anything today. Ask them, what about the gifts of the Spirit? And they'll tell you, well, we have very good hospitals, very good doctors, and that's what. So we don't need the Holy Spirit to heal us. We don't need the Holy Spirit's working of miracles. We now have doctors and surgeons, and they believe that. Many believe that the Holy Spirit left in 500 or so because now we have the Bible, and the Bible is much more intelligent and understandable than the Spirit was. Somebody said that to me just the other day. And so we are a people, especially here in America, and we have the facts of the gospel. We have the historical reality of our salvation in Jesus, but it is not alive to us. We've got no eyes open, no wow moments of seeing, because people have in their mind X'd out the Holy Spirit, whether they did that intentionally, but for the most part, that's simply what they were taught. And so that's the way it is. And they give no place in life for the Holy Spirit to do anything. Well, right from the beginning, as I've referenced it many times before, so I'm not going to go into it, but I was an absolute psychological, emotional mess as I was coming into my early teenage. It was due, I'm sure, in part to being raised in World War II in London. But for all that, I couldn't talk to people. I didn't know how to put a sentence together if you're an individual facing me. I just fell apart. Shy would be welcome. I was 100 times worse than shy. And there was the unknown fear, which I believe, again, comes from the bomb shelters sitting there as the bombs were falling and seeing fear on the faces of all the adults without knowing why, because I'd never known anything else at that time. And so it became a fear of the unknown, and it governed me. And my mother had begun going to a charismatic, well, because those days there was no charismatic, it was Assemblies of God Church. And in those days, the Assemblies of God had tremendous emphasis upon a personal relationship to the Holy Spirit and all the gifts of the Spirit. And my mother experienced that in our kitchen at 3 a.m. Mm. And at that time, when she felt and knew the enabling, the power of the Holy Spirit, when she had inside eyes open to the marvel of this salvation, she got excited. Excited enough to wake me up in my bed and heard her down in the kitchen. And because of the, it just seemed so, well, to me, where I was at that time, I did not want that. To me, it would be acting like an idiot, that I just didn't want everyone hearing and looking. And so I exited that church as fast as I could, because I was afraid it would happen. But then I joined into a Bible church where, thankfully, they said that the Holy Spirit had left, and so I could relax. Don't be afraid. He's not going to come upon you. And but then I'll just simply say I was set up. I was set up to go to a church in the next town that was the sister church to the one my mother went to. I went because somebody really begged me to go with them. And I stood at the back, ready to run for the door, while my friend went to the front because he wanted prayer and so on. Well, as I was standing there, the Holy Spirit came upon me, but came upon me very gently, almost, I'll say, therapeutically. Because the nearest I can say, it was like warm oil being poured over me. And it was peace, which is not something I really had had much of. And it was good, it was right. And although I knew this is what happened to my mother, but at the same time, I could not run for the door, even though I positioned myself to do it. Because this was too good. It was too right. There was nothing to fear here. The opposite of fear, love, and peace filled me. And by the end of the preacher's sermon, though he hadn't been talking about the Holy Spirit at all, but by the time he'd finished, he said, "Those who want to receive the Spirit, go to the prayer room." I went to the prayer room. That was around 9 o'clock that night. And I came out of that prayer room around 2:30 a.m, and I was a totally, totally changed person, because the Holy Spirit had done his work. I might say this, that I don't believe that up until that moment I didn't have the Spirit. That is what some of my friends would believe. But I realize the Spirit doesn't isolate himself to one or two people. The Holy Spirit is there. He's upon you, in you, whether you know it or not. And as I said, there are so many who have decided they don't want that. And so although the Holy Spirit is there, they totally ignore him, give no place to him. The Holy Spirit had been with me from the very beginning. I never would have gotten through everything that happened prior to that, but for the Holy Spirit. He was the one carrying me through. I just didn't know it. And that night, I came to the realization, there was, the word might be manifestation in me of what was truly there all the time. And here I realized I was standing at the beginning of a new life. And the pastor Well, he did not know me. He had just sat outside that prayer room waiting for God to finish dealing with me and ready to lock up the church at 2:30 in the morning. And he said, obviously the Holy Spirit has done a mighty work in you tonight. He didn't know who I was. And I said, well, I couldn't deny that, obviously. He said, well, then I want you to come and tell the people about this tomorrow. Next Sunday. And because of the state I was in at that time and what had happened to me, I said, of course I'll come. I'll be delighted to come. And so there it was. The following Sunday, I stepped into the pulpit, still in my, you could almost say my memories. I felt fear of standing on a platform looking at what appeared to me thousands of people. Actually, not at all. It's a very small church. But then came the witness of the Spirit within. It was okay. And I don't know what I said. And by the mercy of God, there were no such things as tape recorders in those days. And so no one will ever know except the people who were there. But I have been speaking every week of my life ever since. And that was 70 years ago. But it was the Holy Spirit. I couldn't explain what happened to me outside of the Holy Spirit. And so when people would try to argue about the presence of the Spirit with us today, I don't argue. I can't argue. I just wouldn't be here but for the Holy Spirit. Now, do with that what you want, but it's not a theory. I didn't come one day and decide I was going to believe that the Holy Spirit was here today as much as he was in the New Testament and doing everything he did today as he did in the New Testament. I didn't come that way. It wasn't some theological thing I began to believe. Something happened to me. The Holy Spirit did his work in me, and I'm left with something I now believe, whether anyone likes it or not. You can have all your theological reasons for not believing what happened to me, but it's tough on you because it happened to me, and that's the end of the story. Or I remember discussing this with an old Scottish pastor, and I don't know if you'd understand the accent, but when we'd finished, he says, "Och, laddy, it's better felt than telp." And if that doesn't make sense to you, he was saying, it's better that you feel something than someone tries to tell you about it. The only way to know what an orange tastes like is to taste it. You try and explain to someone what the juice of an orange in your mouth actually tastes like. Try to explain to them what it feels like when the juice of the orange is drooling down your face. No, just let them have the orange. They'll find out. That's how it
they
works.
They have to experience it.
Yeah, it's the whole New Testament throbs with experience.
Yes,
it's a book that constantly uses the word know and the word there in the original language, but also really in English. You know somebody.
Yes.
That is, you didn't meet them by hearsay. You know. It's not a rumor. You know them. You've observed them. You've listened to them. You've had eyes on. You know them. And that kind of knowledge grows by the day, really, but certainly by the month. You know a person, and you're growing in a relationship. You're growing, in fact, in a union relationship.
Yes.
And that's the Holy Spirit. In today's world, when you go to college or even in high school, it begins that they have little interest in you knowing something. That's why our education system is so useless in some parts. Because all they can guarantee and all that they actually work toward is that you will know about something, which means you can cram it the night before the exam. You know about it, but it's totally useless information. You don't know it. You don't know it till you put hands on. With the therapist, that I had in the last month. I went to the therapy place, and this young chappy sat me down and began to explain all of the ways in which the therapy is going to take place, about the bending of the knees and the contraction of the muscles. And he was really well informed and could draw little diagrams. And I was sitting there lapping it all up. This is marvelous. And then he said, now we're going to do it. Well, that changed the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because doing it meant that I'm under torture, you know.
Uncomfortable.
That would be a mild word, uncomfortable. It's at points I thought it's sheer agony. But that's the difference between know about, when he can sit there and have a book and tell me all about it, and I can write notes.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me of many people in church on Sunday morning. they have the book, they hear the lecture about,
mm-hmm.
but it's only when the rubber hits the road and you actually know the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God on earth today.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Holy Spirit, we meet with Jesus and with the Father.
Yes.
But the Holy Spirit is the one who is here. Jesus said very plainly in John's Gospel, I'm going away. And he said, you are looking very sad that I'm going away. But he said, I've got to go away so that the Holy Spirit can come. And he will be to you such a person that it is better for you that I go away. So the coming of the Holy Spirit was hinged upon Jesus leaving in the ascension.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Holy Spirit came. So the Holy Spirit on earth today is mm-hmm. the same to us as Jesus was
mm-hmm.
when he was on earth. If you can take that in. And that's why he said it was better. Because if Jesus was in the Galilee, and you were nearly 100 miles south in Jerusalem, well, if you want to meet with Jesus, you've got a 100-mile trek
mm-hmm.
up to the Galilee, or you've got to wait till he comes down. Whereas what the Holy Spirit means is that that same presence of God is not 100 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit is the presence of God inside of you. And inside of you, there's a with. He is with you. But with you not merely externally walking alongside of you. He is with you in your very inmost being.
Mm-hmm.
Which means you access him at all times. You don't have to go to the Galilee.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to wait until he comes. Although, of course, if that's what you expect, that's what he'll be limited to.
Mm.
And so I've been to many churches where they report, God showed up. Well, I don't know about your God. You'd better talk to him about it. But the God of the New Testament never shows up. He dwells with you.
Mm-hmm.
He abides. I mean, supposing I said we had a wonderful morning, Cheryl showed up. No, she's my wife. She doesn't show up. She's there. And we live life together. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit doesn't show up in your life. There might be a day when you feel days of wow, days of being overwhelmed by love.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't show up. He's there all the time.
I like what you said in that recent message. You said he's like the umbilical cord, like he's, we're in Christ, but like a mother is feeding the baby everything she eats, and the baby's reacting to her emotions, and Holy Spirit brings Father and Jesus face to face, and we communicate
right
through the Holy Spirit, which is like the umbilical cord.
Yep, and that illustration has helped a lot of people.
Yes.
I've heard that's on YouTube, if any of you wonder where that message is. One of the very latest ones on YouTube. So the Holy Spirit, take the Holy Spirit out, and you've got actually a set of historical facts. You understand that the church then becomes the what? Those who look after the historical records. And going to church is like going to a museum. And the curator of the museum will give you a nice talk about some of the old bones that are there. But that's it. When you go to a museum, you don't expect to sit down and have a chat with one of the exhibits. The exhibits it's all dead. Whereas this is the marvel. Jesus stands among us and says, I am he that lives. I was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Well, how do we communicate with Jesus? The Holy Spirit, as Cheryl pointed out, the umbilical cord is where I actually now participate in the Holy Trinity.
Yes.
Right now, I participate in Jesus alive and in God the Father. And so because the Holy Spirit is in us and with us, we live our lives in a real, in a dynamic, it's a vital relationship with Father and Son and Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I'm not talking about a church service. I'm talking about when you have coffee in the morning and you sit down, and I mean this very literally, with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah, union.
And yeah, it's a union, and a union that's made possible by the Holy Spirit. He's in you, and he is there with the Trinity, and so the union takes place.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit is our teacher. How do we know what we know? I get young guys always, and they say, you know, could you give me some books so I can read about this? Well, to me, books come later. You've got to experience the love of God. You don't get books on marriage before you're married, or at least before you've met the person you're going to marry. Otherwise, it's just useless information.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear me? It's that there's got to be a reason for the books. Otherwise, you are simply adding to your vast inner library of useless information. And I always tell them, you don't need the books yet. The Holy Spirit is the one who connects us with the love. I remember when I in those early years, I had the experience I'm talking about, but I really did not understand the finished work of Christ. I was aware of something like that. I mean, we were taught Jesus died for you, rose from the dead. But I was in a position of teaching others. And you know, I was in Ireland. And the dear Irish people, some of my favorite people on earth, they didn't know either. It was a little country church. And so here I'm the pastor teacher, and I don't know what I'm talking about. And the people didn't know that I didn't know what I was talking about because they didn't know what they were talking about either. And I knew it. Thank God I knew it. Or I might be doing it till today. But I was restless. I've got to find out what this is all about. And I got up one morning about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I went out into the mountains. If you know Ireland, it's the mountains of Mourne. And I walked and came upon this little group of trees, which it was as the dawn sun was shining through. There were these animals and birds there, and I sat down. Well, on earth, what is this about? I was screaming out in my spirit of God. And I knew that Ephesians was an important book. They told me so, somebody. But I didn't know why. Didn't know what Ephesians was about. But sitting there in the dawn light, I took my New Testament and began to read Ephesians. And I came to verse 15, where it says the Holy Spirit comes, and then it goes on in 16:17. He says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know the hope to which you have been called, that you might know the exceeding greatness of his power, which is usward who believe. And I realized Paul was praying that. In fact, he says that's what he was praying for the people. And the Holy Spirit made very plain to me that Paul actually wrote down what he was praying for these people, and having written it down, sent it to them to tell them, that's what I'm praying for you. But what Paul didn't know, when he wrote it down, he sent it, but not only to those people, but to us, to me, sitting under that tree in Ireland. And
amazing.
Yeah, I realized that the Holy Spirit had told him to write it down, told him to tell us what he was praying, so that we would know how to pray. The Holy Spirit saying, that's a legal prayer, that's the way to do it, so go for it. And I went back home that morning praying that prayer that Paul had written in Ephesians 1, praying it for myself. And that was perfectly legal, right? Because the Holy Spirit had released that prayer in Paul writing it down. Now it's, and everybody can use it. And I prayed it, and I prayed it. And then I began to pray for every member of that congregation, one by one, praying the same prayer, that same prayer of Paul that I prayed for myself. I prayed through the congregation. And I did that every day. And the result was within 6 weeks, I had for what then anyway was the clearest view and understanding of salvation that I've ever had. Now, that was a long time ago. I was about 17 years old. And today, what I knew then would be very elementary. But for me then, it was the complete answer to every question I'd ever had. And I found my congregation was waking up and understanding. And the whole picture had changed because we had opened ourselves up to the Holy Spirit, who is the one that opens the eyes of your understanding. Jesus said very specifically, he said, there are many things I can't teach you now because you wouldn't understand it. But when the Holy Spirit comes, and then he uses the term that he will teach you all things. Interestingly, the Greek word there is better translated is, that he will take you by the hand into and walk into all truth. As if he's not going to tell you about it. He's going to take you by the hand and say, let's go do it. And that to me is teaching. And that is what the Holy Spirit does with us. And it's the way I seek to do teaching. Not just lecturing about, but taking you by the hand, believing my hand in the Holy Spirit's hand are together, and let's go and discover this message. Then Jesus said also a few verses further on, he says, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. I love that one, because the word guide there in the original language, it's very specific. It means to guide you into what up to this moment has been unknown territory. So the Holy Spirit is going to take you into unknown territory. And a lot of that became very real to me when I was traveling the world, especially in places like Africa, where you are in the jungle for a long time. I remember when we were going places, we would have a Humvee, and you sat on a flat platform at the back, and you had a guide of sorts, But before we left anywhere, we would go to the local village where you had natives who, of course, lived there, in right there in the jungle in that area. And we would ask if there was anyone that the village would recommend who could guide us through the area. And we got them every time, of course. Many times they were very young, other times older. But they would sit on the hood of our Jeep and sit cross-legged, and they would just be watching the path. And they could tell us every animal that had crossed that path within the last hour. They saw paw prints where I saw nothing, and I could keep going. But they would lead us through the jungle, sitting on the hood of the car. And it came so clear, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is the one who within us sits on the hood of our desires. He sits on all our decisions, and he quietly guides us into all truth, which is unknown territory. It's unknown territory. And some people have to know, and they go into great detail of, you know, what is the will of God? What is the will of God? And by that, they mean they want the whole jolly, you know, thing rolled out before them. Well, the fact is, I don't think you're ever going to hear anything like what you're asking. You're up the wrong tree. To know the will of God, you begin by the fact the will of God is sitting on the hood of your Jeep. And he's speaking inside of you, and he's pointing here and pointing there. And there are times when he says, stop the Jeep, there's a fantastic view coming up. You know, mm-hmm. Other times, stop the Jeep, there's a leopard up ahead. Mm-hmm. but always, he's leading us, directing us into all truth. And that has been my experience. That the Holy Spirit does literally, it's not a place, I mean, it doesn't live beside your liver or something, but in your very person, in that invisible you which makes you happen, in you. And as Cheryl has said, the illustration of the baby in the womb of the mother and is eating of the mother, her flesh, eating of the mother even in her thoughts, eating of the mother in her feelings, her anxieties, even in the TV shows that she watches, that all goes down into the baby. Well, the umbilical cord, God himself has made himself available to us, given himself to us in Jesus Christ. And the umbilical cord, the Holy Spirit, is actually causing us to participate in the love of God. Now, that's what it's all about. Now, that's the Christian life. And of course, the Holy Spirit then, as he pours himself, and that, when I say himself, that includes all that Jesus is, pours everything the Father is.
Yes.
And it pours that into us.
Life.
And we call that the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But it is simply, that's not a natural thing, you see. It's got nothing to do with whether you're patient by nature. That's nothing to do with it. Here is, you are living by the life of another. Mm-hmm. He comes and he puts his life, his love, his
yes.
joy, his peace, his patience, his goodness,
yes.
faithfulness into yes. you. And that's how we live this life. And the gifts of the Spirit, when we see, Christians don't just love. They're moved with compassion. And you face a situation, you face a person, and it's not that you have compassion. You can reach out as Jesus did and lay your hands on them. Or if they don't like that, that's okay. You can speak in their presence and let the very life and ability, healing life, wisdom life of Jesus flow through you to them. Now, that's what it means, the Holy Spirit. The same as you read in the New Testament, he is here, he is now, he is alive in you. And that's the way the Holy Trinity works, and that's the way you work. And this, and I'll close on this, but I don't think we'll ever grasp the enormity of it. In the temple in Jerusalem, right in the center of it, there was the Holy of Holies. And inside that Holy of Holies, there was the glory of God, or at least had been. By the time the New Testament, that glory is not there. But that's where the glory, the shimmering glory of God, lived in that inner sanctum, Holy of Holies. And it was in the Greek language, it was called the Naos. So there was another word for the temple. This word Naos meant that little room in the center. And the Jewish people looked upon that room where the glory of God lived, and they called it the center of the universe. They really believed it, that the whole universe centered in that little room where the glory of God lived. They believed that that is where God actually lived among us on earth. And all creation looked to that little room and found their life there. That's what they believed. Well, the fellow who was the Jew of all Jews, Paul the Apostle, when he understood these things, he wrote to the Corinthians and says, don't you know that your body is, and he used the word naos. Your body is the naos of the Holy Spirit. That is, he dwells within you. You stand in many respects at the center of the universe. You stand where God is your Father, Jesus your very Savior, Lord, and life, and the Holy Spirit, the one who brings that into you and makes it real to you. That's where you stand. I said this world is going crazy. Well, yes, it is. You realize that in the New Testament, things were worse than they are today.
I can't imagine.
We discover things, crimes, terrible things that people do to children, and we discover it, and it shocks us. In the days of the New Testament, those things happened in the palace of the Caesars, and everybody knew about it. It was counted normal. The men who governed Rome were quite insane, and at the drop of a hat, they throw you to the lions, they put you on a burn pile, and then thousands gathered to watch the animals tear you to pieces. That was Rome. And here, the gospel and the letters of Paul say one thing, that we are at the center of the universe, and this crazy nation that we're part of, Rome, can never destroy that, and that he's building his kingdom, and this is where the peace is, and this is where the joy is. And these people, little groups of people, many of them slaves to the Romans, but they would gather many times in the middle of the night. They would gather there to celebrate that they were one with the Lord of all who had risen from the dead. And that life was now being put inside of them by the Holy Spirit. Well, that's it, you see. We're part of, we're living in, we partake of the covenant of the Spirit. And don't let anybody deceive you that the Holy Spirit left. The Holy Spirit is here exactly as he was in the New Testament.
Amen.
Okay, that's everything we have to say for this month of September. I want to thank you for your gifts, and you are one with us, and without your gifts, there could be no us. And so together we are sharing this message of the love of God, one person at a time. And it's you that finance it. And so we thank you. And talking of that, those of you who write to us, we've had two addresses, and I won't go into the long, meandering details of why that is so, but we are closing one of our post office boxes. It is 3250, Post Office Box 3250 in Bandera. We are closing that box. All mail should now go to Post Office Box 1599 in Bandera. Do you get that? The Post Office Box 3250 is no more. And everything now goes through Post Office Box 1599. It's going to save us a whole bunch of money. And so please, could you make a big note of that the next time you are writing to us, sending anything to us, have a note somewhere to arrest you and say Post Office Box 1599.
Yes.
Which, of course, you have been used. We've had that box forever. We're just making it the only box. And so if you could do that, you'll help us a whole bunch. So the blessing of the Lord is with you.
He's with you. Yes.
We're going to see many of you at the retreat.
Can't wait.
And many of you as we travel around the country. And we'll talk about that next month. Amen.
Amen.